All right, here we are on Cinema Reservoir podcast. This is the very first Cinema Reservoir podcast, sort of.
Yeah, this is sort of
beta.
This is the beta version. This is our maiden voyage. Not really. We actually recorded our first podcast.
They don't want to know about that.
I feel like we keep about things that they're not going to know about. Well, we keep alluding to it.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll just have to wonder. We've got a lot of things going on in the film world.
The Golden Globes were this past weekend. I'm going to go through briefly the Golden Globes, and we're gonna get some commentary on that, I guess.
Well, we can also maybe think about how much of the Oscar.
Oh yeah, I'll tell
this.
You. All right, yeah.
Okay, let's.
All right, top of the list is the Cecil B. DeMille Award this year went to Morgan Freeman.
Was that a Morgan Freeman imitation?
Yes.
It was excellent.
I am God.
I think
he was God twice.
He was. Did he say that in a movie?
Yeah, and I think Evan Almighty or something. Steve Almighty. Whatever one. I don't know.
They both were free. You know.
And during the awards ceremony, what's his face? The black actor, Sidney Poitier.
Yeah.
Came out and gave it to him.
Has he been in anything?
No, I don't think so. He looked like he needed help to walk.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Who else said I Am God? That's another famous one.
I Am God, I don't know.
Alec Baldwin.
A lot of people probably say it.
Alec
and
Baldwin.
It just doesn't get recorded.
Well, that's true. It was in Malice, though.
Okay. All right, The Descendants won Best Motion Picture Drama. That's, with George Clooney, and he plays the man that comes back to his house with his daughters and because his wife is in a coma and finds out that she's been cheating on him.
I have a confession.
Yes.
I haven't seen any of these.
You haven't seen The Help?
No, you know my...
I haven't seen The Help either.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I haven't seen any of them but The Ides of March, and I didn't like that one.
What did it win?
Nothing.
Well...
But it got nominated quite a bit. All right, Meryl Streep, of course, won for The Iron Lady of her portrayal of Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher.
Mm.
That was fun. I didn't see that movie either.
We're really film buffs.
She looked a lot. I don't get the DVD screeners, the Academy screeners I should get in the mail.
We'll get those soon. We have to get this podcast off the ground. Once this is off the ground, they'll be begging us to watch their schlock.
George Clooney won for The Descendants as actor. Let's see.
He really has never really achieved the greatness of Return of the Killer Tomatoes in my book, but I'm glad he's still out there. I'm glad he's still trying.
Motion picture comedy was The Artist, which is a silent film.
You know, this has to be the first silent film in a while.
Yes.
Have you ever seen Silent Movie? Now that's a good silent film. Have you seen it? Mel Brooks?
No.
Oh, it's great.
I can't see everything. All right, up next, we've got Michelle Williams won for playing Marilyn Monroe in My Week with Marilyn.
Excellent.
Which I did not see. I saw, Bridesmaids, and I saw Carnage. And that's the only thing,
I saw Bridesmaids.
I saw Bridesmaids.
You know...
Movies that everybody's seen don't usually get nominated.
Well, that's a Golden Globe.
Oh, but speaking of the Oscars, Meryl Streep will win an Oscar for The Iron Lady, for playing Margaret Thatcher.
Mm.
I've always wanted to have a cat and name it Meowgret Thatcher.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. All right. Jean Desjardins for The Artist. He won Best Actor.
I've always wanted to have a fish and name it Jean Desjardins. No. Mm. Okay, sorry.
All right, 10-10 won Best, what is that, animated film? Yeah, I guess that's animated. It's a 3D film by Steven Spielberg. Best foreign language film, A Separation from Iran. A Separation from Iran. Out of Iran.
Oh, I see.
It's not A Separation from Iran.
It's probably not the feel-good
movie.
That's what
we're trying to do right now.
Not the feel-good movie of the year, I would say.
I doubt it. I doubt it. And it was up against Almodovar's The Skin I Live In.
You know, they probably...
And that was such a good movie.
They just get tired of giving him awards.
I think so. All right, let's see. We've got a supporting actress, Octavia Spencer, The Help. I did not see that. So therefore, we skip it.
You saw Midnight in Paris, though, right?
I have seen people helping out in other people's houses, and they're called The Help.
Ah.
I would never give an award to any of them, though. At least not in the houses I've lived in.
They don't. They're not as attentive to the hangers-on.
No,
you're probably like the Cato Kalin.
I'm the one they don't want to clean up after.
Right.
Best performance by an actress in a supporting role. We just did that one. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role was Christopher Plummer. Beginnings, another film that is I've yet to see.
This is excellent.
Presumably it's about an old man, because Christopher Plummer plays it.
You know, if we had watched these, we could be really insightful.
Well, I feel like we need to mention it. All right, best director, Martin Scorsese, Hugo. I've seen...
Did he get that?
He got that.
Oh, he just keeps winning stuff now. He's on a roll.
All right, best screenplay, Midnight in Paris. I've seen it. Woody Allen.
You know, I think the thing with Scorsese, though, they just feel like they owe him these awards. I don't think he's doing his best work.
They owe a lot of people awards. You know, there's like, they never gave Alfred Hitchcock an award until they gave him like a Lifetime Achievement Award.
That's horrible.
It didn't count.
It doesn't count.
He got up there and his acceptance speech was, "Thank you." And that was it.
The man's got class. But the thing is when they need to give them the awards, their movies are too cutting edge. And it's only in retrospect that they know how great they are. They take some layups when they give some of these awards. They take the people pleaser sometimes. And I think most of the Oscars that you see him people getting, like Scorsese getting the one for
The Departed,
is a Lifetime Achievement Award, because there is no way that was as meaningful to our culture.
Well, that was an Oscar. These are Golden Globes.
As Taxi Driver, of course, you're right.
Will Woody Allen win Best Screenplay at the Oscars? Will, actually, probably not. All right. Here's how it goes, is that usually, 99% of the time at the Oscars, the Best Director Oscar goes to the film that was won Best Actor. So unless Hugo is going to win Best Actor, the guy that did The Artist is going to win Best Director.
You think so?
Yeah.
That's your bet? Okay.
I might have said actor instead of picture.
I don't know. I got lost.
But, you know, that happened once when Brokeback Mountain won. Ang Lee won Best Director for Brokeback Mountain, but the Crash won Best Picture.
Ah.
So it doesn't happen often. But Best Original Song, this was sort of the upset of the night, I would guess. Was Madonna won Best Original Song for We, which nobody has seen. I promise
you. Well, what should have got Best Song?
If you look at the frown on Elton John's face, then he should have won for Romeo and Juliet.
You know...
He was pissed.
No one should win anything for something called Romeo and Juliet. And Elton John needs to retire if all he's going to do is Romeo and Juliet. All
right. Best television series drama, Homeland won. Have you seen Homeland?
No, I've heard of it.
It's good.
It's excellent.
It's great. It's like the Manchurian Candidate.
Mm.
And it was up against some pretty good, like Game of Thrones, Boardwalk Empire, American Horror Story, Boss, which nobody really wants to see. It's on Stars, which isn't a real channel.
But it has Frasier Crane, who's... I'm glad they're bringing that character back.
Yeah. Frasier Crane. Okay, whatever. All right. Best actress in a television series was Claire Danes for Homeland. So, there's that. Best performance by an actor was Kelsey Grammer from Boss, beating out four way better contenders than he. You got Damian Lewis from Homeland, who's great. Jeremy Irons from The Borgias on Showtime, which is a great show. Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad.
To me, that is sacrilege. Bryan Cranston is giving some of the greatest performances we'll ever see on TV.
Well, this past season of Breaking Bad was amazing.
Absolutely amazing. The best show I have ever seen. And it just, it's a national treasure. It should just get all the awards.
All right, here's the big one. Best television series, comedy or musical, Modern Family.
Mm.
It's okay, but I mean...
Well, you may or may not know this, but I do not have cable. Haven't seen it.
It's not that great. Best performance by an actress in a television series, comedy or a musical, Laura Dern for Enlightened, which is on HBO. It's kind of like a... We know if we have a friend that's very like...
Like this
character.
Really?
Like, out of rehab.
Ah.
Everything's great. You need to change too.
Ah.
Let me gather up all this information about the company I'm working for, about all awful things that they're doing. Yeah. You know, we could be really changing things instead of just doing my damn.
And then let's go get drunk.
Yeah, and then let's go get drunk.
Yeah.
It's a great character, and she doesn't...
Well, you know, I always give Laura Dern a chance because... She's a progeny of Bruce Dern. Bruce Dern is a genius.
She's a Dern. That's what David Lynch says when he tries to give her a chance. She's a Dern.
Is that what he says? What you would imagine him saying?
Well, she is a Dern. best performance by an actor in a television series, comedy, or musical, Matt LeBlanc episodes on Showtime.
What do you think about that?
He plays himself on that show.
Is it? Oh, he's probably laughing at himself a bit.
It's like where a British...
I know that
It's
show.
Like where some British people come to America to remake their own show.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to hire Matt LeBlanc. And he's awful. So, that's the gist of that show. I don't know how... Anyway. Best performance by an actress in a miniseries... Kate Winslet, Mildred Pierce. Never seen it, but I do like Kate Winslet. But, all right, I'm excited about this. Best performance by an actor in a miniseries or motion picture made for television, Idris Elba for Luther.
Oh, yeah?
Luther's great, you know, it's where he's a detective.
He's a dirty detective.
He is a dirty detective, although he tries to not be a dirty detective. Yeah. He is a dirty detective.
So did they win? They won that?
He won that. Let's see. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a series, miniseries, or motion picture, Jessica Lange, American Horror Story. You've never seen it, I know.
I know. I have my friend Jenny Irvin tells me to watch it.
Oh, it's so weird and great.
But, you know, it could go either way with her. It could be terrible.
But it's not.
Well.
Proven by the...
I guess it's gone the other way.
First time she's ever done a television show. Jessica Lange.
Really?
And she's winning.
That's excellent.
So it's a good payoff for her. And this one I'm also really excited about. Best actor in a supporting role in a series was Peter Dinklage on Game of Thrones. He's the midget on Game of Thrones. And he's the best character and actor.
Do they have like a little people's categories? Or is it full-size actors competing
too?
This
is everyone thrown in there together.
Really?
And he came out on top of Paul Giamatti.
I would like to see that.
Well...
It happened.
Maybe Paul Giamatti will be on next season of Game of Thrones. You never know.
You know, he's really confident in his acting ability.
Which?
Paul Giamatti.
Paul Giamatti?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, he really knows he's a good one.
He shouldn't work for M. Night Shyamalan so much, though. Even once is way too much.
Way too much. I mean, I could understand making that mistake if you've only seen Sixth Sense, but... Beyond that, there's really no excuse.
All right, I think we're on to... You had some section.
Oh, yes. I want to break this section out. And this is the section where you give a recommendation for something that people should watch that maybe they haven't seen. You know, television movie. You cannot tell people to go watch The Hangover 2. I'm sorry, you're going to have to get a little deeper. But this section of Cinema Reservoir is called... Our reservoir tip. So, give them the tip, Jorman.
My tip is American Horror Story. If you haven't watched it yet, you need to. You can catch up on it. And then maybe by next season. I hear it won't matter really very much whether or not you're caught up on season one or not. Because season two is going to be in a completely different part of the country. With a completely different house. and a totally different set of characters.
Sounds like something you can jump right into.
Although some of the same actors are going to be playing different characters in season two.
Fascinating. I need to get on this bus, this American Horror Story bus.
What is your tip?
Do I get to give the tip too?
Yeah, you get a tip.
All right, just the tip. Here it goes. I'm going to tell you a movie. We're talking about the Derns. I'm going to tell you a movie you probably have never seen, but you should. It's called Silent Running. And if you're thinking Cool Runnings, you're an idiot. This movie is Silent Running. It is one of the greatest science fiction films ever made.
Is Kirk Douglas in that?
No. Please, no. Maybe. But no. It's if you've ever seen...
Where he's keeping up a greenhouse or something.
Yes,
it?
In outer space.
Okay.
You seem to not think this is a good tip.
I don't. You tip whatever you want.
No, this is a great tip. This is a science fiction classic, and it's even kind of the inspiration for Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Mm.
The man with his two robots stuck in outer space.
Right.
It does have some bad folk music, but you're gonna have to overlook a little bit to really get into the movie. His acting is awesome. If you're not moved by Bruce Dern in that movie, you're probably a soulless bastard.
Okay. So I might be a soulless bastard if
have
I'm
you
not.
Seen the movie?
I feel like I have on like USA or something.
You've not given it a chance.
Years ago, edited. I feel like that's a movie that shouldn't be edited.
No, it's...
Yeah. Maybe he was naked at some point in it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's any Bruce Dern nudity.
Well.
Well, okay, we were gonna do a science fiction thing. Are we gonna talk some we're gonna do our little sci-fi segment?
What you start us off.
Oh, me. Well, you wanted to talk about I think what you had brought up in the pre-podcast was the
pre-podcast is only $5.99 extra a month if you're interested. The pre-podcast.
The pre-show. That's when we really get crazy.
That's when you don't know what's gonna happen.
Yeah, or you can find it on Oxygen at 1 in the morning.
Yes.
Well, science fiction deaths.
Oh. What? Oh.
Most horrific, I think, was your...
Yeah, the biggest, thought. The worst, the what I'm most afraid of dying in a science fiction way.
The grodiest.
Yeah. You go.
I go first?
Yeah, you go first.
I didn't really have a good one. The Shining would be a horrible way to die. Lost in a maze in the freezing... I hate being cold.
Okay.
Makes my nips
I'll
look
allow
good.
It, although it's a horror film.
It's also a science fiction
it's
film.
It's not a horror science fiction film.
There's nothing supernatural happening. There's nothing...
Nothing from space. There's nothing
It has to be from space.
There's no alien. There's no...
There's an element of time travel. There's an element of...
But it's ambiguous.
Ah.
It's just thrown in there at the very end.
But
you don't know what that means.
Yeah, and it almost seems to explain stuff, but it probably raises more questions than it answers. But I will say, that's all I got.
All right, I'm going to say there was an episode of The X-Files where Mulder and Scully are investigating like an outbreak of cockroaches.
Yeah, the cockrophages.
It's War of the Cockrophages, written by one of my favorite X-Files writer.
Yes, and that name is?
That name is... I'll think of it in a second. He wrote a bunch of good ones, though. He wrote, you know, Clive Buckman's Final Repose. He wrote... what was the other one? Jose Chung's From Outer Space. Anyway, in this one, there's one scene where a guy dies on a toilet, and he's covered in cockroaches. And the reason that he died was because... He strained too hard, and he causes to give himself an aneurysm. So I think about that all the time. Like,
well,
don't strain too hard; you might give yourself an aneurysm.
That's not the lesson. Is eat your fiber, and
you won't have to strain.
You won't have to strain, and get a few combat traps.
Yeah, the roaches had nothing to do with anything.
Well, I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. I think it would add to the horror if you were straining and then you were covered in cockroaches.
Yeah, that's true. All right, on to a different topic. What have you seen lately? You've seen some movie lately.
Yeah, I've been Netflixing it up. I watched both True Grits. John Wayne versus Jeff Bridges. There's a showdown in the Old West on my Panasonic. Have you seen both movies?
It's been a long time since I've seen the original.
Aha, me too. So, well, not that long, maybe a few years. But I watched it in its entirety, and, you know, there's certain things about the original that I really like. Of course, John Wayne. He's an icon. He cannot be replaced. Nobody is going to fill those boots. But I think Jeff Bridges does it. I have to give it to the Coen Brothers movie, of course. I think there's some diehard John Wayne fans that are just pissed off that this was ever even conceived and that it's sacrilege to have been done. And there's certain things about the John Wayne thing that flow a lot better. They've rewrote the ending. They don't have the narrator. So there's those differences, which are also different from the book. But when it winds up, it's a nice, tidy little ending. And in the original, in the Coen Brothers movies, they go back to the book. And after it ends, there's a whole epilogue. And I really enjoyed that, and I think it makes it more interesting and different. But I do see how the storytelling in the original may be a little tighter.
The Coen Brothers are automatically going to make anything deeper and on a different level than a regular film.
A regular Western, especially.
And you apply that to any genre that they work in, and they always make it more...
Well, Westerns usually don't have layers and don't have depth and don't have...
But now they've done three Westerns, I would say, the Coens.
Well...
They did No Country for Old Men.
I would call that
That's
a Western.
They did Blood Simple is a Western, in a way.
I can see that. They definitely has Western characters. But in a lot of ways, Blood Simple is my favorite Coen Brothers movie. But I think... I just don't think they were as in tune in the 1969 version of True Grit as the Coen Brothers are today. It's just there's not really nothing was made on that level except I don't know. You know, The Searchers.
Yeah.
I don't think the Coens could redo The Searchers better or with more depth.
I think they could if they wanted to.
I don't think they could touch it.
They can call in here and deny you anytime they want.
Well, they call all the time. I'm a little sick of it.
You've got a cousin that works with the Coens.
I do. Skip Lefsey. He does the sound for their movies.
That's awesome.
He's more of a step cousin.
You know, a cousin is a cousin is a cousin.
Yes.
If I don't know what you are, you're a cousin.
Ah.
That's a cousin.
Yeah. Well, he's my... first cousin.
You can have sex with those kind of cousins because if you don't even know how you're related,
well, he's a step.
Then you can have sex.
It's
with
a
them
step
legally.
Thing. He's my first cousin, second removes husband's son.
Could you have sex with him? Would it be legal?
Would it be? It would probably. Yeah, it'd be completely legal.
Okay. That's how I gauge relations.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if it'd be legal in all states because there would be some man on man action. There's some old laws on the books.
As long as there wasn't any kind of like sodomy.
How do you have gay sex without sodomy?
Oral sex.
That's sodomy.
HJs.
I don't even know what those are.
Hand jobs.
An old fashioned. So I could give them an old fashioned.
Yeah.
Okay. So, your turn. The ball's in your court, Jorman.
What was the question?
I'm throwing you the conversation beanbag.
What was the question?
There is no question. Okay.
I've seen... All right. I saw this movie called The Innkeepers the other night. It's by the guy that did... what's it called? It's this film that's like in first person. Anyway, The Innkeepers isn't in first person or anything. It's a horror film about these... A guy and a girl that are keeping this inn open for the weekend. It's going to get demolished at the end of the weekend. And they're both amateur ghost hunters. And they
A horror movie?
No, it is. It's not one of those first-person movies. The guy that directed it is the guy that directed this other great horror film called House of the Devil. But anyway, The Innkeepers is not as good as The House of the Devil. But it's still pretty interesting. It's got, you know, ghosts that are real creepy, and it's It's got a small cast of characters, and so that's. And I also saw Immortals. Immortals. I loved Immortals. You know what I'm talking about?
Refresh my memory.
It's like Clash of the Titans.
Ah.
But better. I'm talking about the remake. It reminded me actually more of the original Clash of the Titans than the remake of Clash of the Titans. And it has Henry Cavill, who's going to be Superman. He stars in it. And it's like, it's very, very, very homoerotic.
It's the guy who made the 300.
By the producers of it.
Okay.
But the guy that directed it was Tarsem Singh, who did The Cell.
Oh, I like Jennifer Lopez. Cell.
Yeah. And it's got this beautiful, like, you know, he's very visually striking when he makes a movie. Everything's very beautiful in that movie. And it's odd because it's mostly guys without their shirts on.
Really? So you enjoyed that?
I enjoyed it.
I've watched.
I would have enjoyed it anyway. It's maybe the goriest movie I've ever seen.
I watched a horror movie recently.
What was it?
And I watched this because I was YouTubing.
Right.
Death metal bands. I was watching a death metal interview for some reason with the guy from Cannibal Corpse, who's incredibly normal and seems like a really great guy that you would have over for dinner. And he said he's into horror movies.
Did you have him over for dinner?
And I'd be a little afraid he would eat me. Right. But no, I didn't. So he thinks of his movies, his music, like horror movies. And it's just sick and disgusting, gross outs. And so he watches a lot of horror movies. And he said the movie that he could not get off his mind, that he could not seem to get past, was The Girl Next Door. Have you seen this movie?
I don't think so.
It's a true story, based on a true story about a girl, Sylvia Likin is the person, who lives in this town, and her parents are carnies. I'm not sure how much of the movie gets into that, but she's kind of left to be babysat by this lady. And, yeah. What? Okay. And so, eventually, she gets tied up in the basement as
oh, I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. So, she has all the neighbors' kids coming over to abuse her and rape her. And,
right.
And eventually she dies, and that's the end, and it's not a happy ending.
Well, it sounds like a great movie. Yeah. He said that he didn't like it.
No, he liked it. He just could. It was truly horrible to him. But to me, you know, once that I had that build up, it really wasn't going to live up to truly horrible. So I was expecting pretty much everything I saw, and I didn't like it. I felt like it was going for the cheap shots.
Well,
that's all I've got to say.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm not a big horror movie fan anyway.
All right, well, we're running out of the half hour. I think we're going to close this up.
Let's do it.
Go visit cinemareservoir.wordpress.com. Follow us on Twitter at cinemareservoir at twitter.com. And we'll always take questions and take stories and whatever else. So thanks a lot.